All right, my brother.
I want to hear it now.
Yeah, man.
Luke 6.
What you got?
We have a long-term attendant. Byron Dugard got word this morning that they think he may have some cancer. Let's lift him up in a parents and the young lady, 40 years old. Look like cancer's returning, and I'd like to lift them up in prayer.
Yes, let's do that.
Put it on the prayer warriors list for Catherine Langlois.
Catherine Langlois.
Langlois and Byron Dugard.
And the Jordan family.
And the Jordan family.
Great.
We come to you, Father, this morning with things that you already are aware of, Lord. But we join here together, and you say where two or more are gathered, your presence is there.
Yes,
your spirit is there. We call you Lord. We call you Father. We call you Healer, Rabbi, Teacher, the I Am. But this morning, Lord, we are asking of you to be healer, Lord. We ask you that you heal our brother's body, that you make us aware of what you're doing in these situations, Lord. We ask that you give comfort to the families, belief, trust, strength, and ultimately the healing that we ask of the Lord for him. We ask that you allow us to be part of the story, Lord, in that we believed before it was done, that it had been already done. Let it be another testimony of your glory. We pray all this in Jesus' name.
I want to say something. I want to say something about what we are assuming. When we pray, prayer is a declaration of our dependency on God for our well-being. And as you said in your prayer, I am. And we go to him as I am. And we say to ourselves, I am a son. I am a child. I am. But as you said, we believe. That's our prayer.
Amen. Amen. All right, so Luke 6 this morning. Honestly, y'all, I could probably speak for hours on this. I mean, 46 verses of pretty much some real truth, real forward example of Jesus being in the presence of men amongst their daily lives and doings of God's work. So Jesus imparted himself in the midst of the religious rulers of the time, right? The story has him basically in the middle of several ritual and belief systems that were cemented in they missed it, y'all, just like many times we miss it. But here are some examples of Jesus having to make a point in the midst of the very principles we try to hold, the teachings that he has left for us. We have to remember that greater than the teachings is the teacher. And they're sitting there debating and having opinion and actually conflict with the very things that Jesus came to do. So we find Jesus healing and feeding on the Sabbath. And the religious rulers of the time were upset by this and set forth a plan to then, you know, get Jesus convicted of such things. Let's just put ourselves in that position that they were in, of the mindset that they were in, that Jesus was in their presence, healing people, feeding people, changing people's lives right before their eyes. And yet, all they could see, all they could focus on was, that's not what it's supposed to be like. That's not how it's supposed to be done. That's not when it's supposed to be done. Man, right? Like, the audacity for man to try to take God things and make it his own. Well, fast forward 2,000 plus years later, don't we have 40,000 ways that we do it? And we're fighting amongst each other on how it should be done. Yet, who is really stopping and listening for what God has to say about it? How God wants it done. I believe we all should be coming together as we do. I believe we should gather and worship God. I believe we should be in the Bible and read scripture. But I think where many of us get it wrong is that we're debating over what God said rather than what God is saying about what he said. And I don't know if y'all experienced this or not, but God's not dead. And he's still saying what he said, or teaching what he said. We've positioned ourselves to learn from man first, and then maybe out of desperation go to God. I believe we fail as teachers and counselors that we don't first tell people or ask people, have you gone to God? Because the first thing that people would do, they will see someone that's further along in the faith or has a position in life that they like, that they admire, and they'll go to that person. Not first considering what God has to say about the situation. So then, whether they're being given good advice, well-experienced advice, or terrible advice, they have no point of reference.
Yeah.
They have no beacon tower that doesn't move. They don't have the compass. They don't have the anchor. So the truth changes. My truth, your truth. Yeah. Culture changes. We have churches acting out in cultural ways now.
Yeah.
Because current is going. And so if you're not anchored, if you're not first looking for and listening for Christ Himself, we will be much like the religious leaders of the time in this story. There are probably 20 something verses of him speaking at one point to them. Condemning their stance. Basically saying to them, what is greater? Is it the law? Or is it me? He's basically asking them. And when we came to Christ and we came to salvation, that was our opportunity to trade the book of laws for what we could not do to what He could do for us. We were talking this morning about salvation and whether you can lose it. It was a good debate, and it was said, maybe you can't lose it, but maybe you can give it away. That's something to ponder on. I'm not God, but the thought is very much so like what's happening right here. These are religious leaders of the time that know the word greater than we ever will. I mean, they were born, and their job was to memorize and to know the word, the law. Yet they were given an opportunity to trade that off for truly the one that they were supposed to be serving. And they chose to hold it, what they thought they knew, rather than to give that away and say, even though they knew all this, I know nothing. This man is healing on the Sabbath. And he says, the Sabbath is not for you. The Sabbath is for the Son of God. Like, we're taking His stuff and we're making it ours. It's a book of rules that will never make you who God designed you to be. It may make you a better citizen of this world, but it will never make you a citizen of His world.
Yeah.
What we can't understand is that all the Bible was written about spiritual things. Yet all we want to do is implement it into worldly things, worldly mindsets, worldly decisions, worldly approaches. Just as there's an Old Testament and there's a New Testament, the New Testament is a fulfillment of what was spoken about in the Old Testament. The Old Testament is like the milk, the baby food. Jesus coming and fulfilling that is now it's time to eat. It's time to now understand that what I gave you in the beginning was just to make a way for what I've come to do, so that maybe you can digest what I'm trying to teach you. But we sit here today still the same way. We're still sitting here reading the Bible, trying to understand based on our own experiences, what Mama and Papa used to do, what my pastor says. Yet the giving away of your action, your experience with God, your salvation, your lordship to Him is not supposed to be given to a man. When you surrender your life to Christ, He is Lord. And He imported the Holy Spirit into you to be your helper. Now, He put that same Holy Spirit in other men that can help you, that can speak a word to you from God that will confirm what He's already been trying to speak to you. That's when you know it's true. But the problem is, if you're not listening for yourself, you will be much like the men in Luke 6 that are sitting there condemning Jesus for doing what He actually is doing. So then you will condemn man for doing something that God has asked him to do. The problem is where we live ourselves, we live our salvation out in a mode of comparison, just like we live our life out in a mode of comparison. You are a one of one. It's not to be compared to others. We're all part of a body. So if you're an elbow, why are you trying to be a hand? If you're a foot, why are you trying to be an ear, right? We all have been called to something. So it's not going to look like your brother's walk. But it's very important that we go back to the basis of understanding that it is not based on your understanding. We try to earn our way to Him. We try to learn our way to Him. And it gets in the way of what He is actually trying to do, much like what's happening in this story. What is God trying to do in your life that's being blocked by your own so-called wisdom, by your own so-called experience? I know personally, when I feel like I know something, when I feel like I've gotten to a place, is the very time that He will come in and tear down my tower so He can truly present His. And you have a choice in those moments, just like these men had a choice. These men had a choice to say, oh, gosh. Like, what do you think they were thinking when He was healing and feeding and speaking a truth, confirming things that were prophesied thousands of years before? What do you think they were thinking that kept them from seeing it for what we now get to see it as?
Yeah, I believe their religion,
rituals, tradition.
Exactly. There was a trade-off that was required. And I'll speak for myself. it was an easy trade when I was broken at the end of myself, had done everything that I could possibly do wrong, and I felt like I had no other option, and I surrendered myself to him. That was the moment of, okay, Lord, have your way. That's day one of salvation. It turns to lordship when then he builds me back up. He gives me a renewed mind. He gives me, he uses me. Then others begin to see that. And then now I have a choice. Do I take what has been given to me here? Or do I give that back away? Remain myself at zero and take the true victory and the true reward that he has for me there. That's how he goes down in the bottom 20 verses and he says, those that who are poor in spirit are the ones that will actually be rewarded there. These men right here, they were not willing to take that trade-off. They were looked at amongst their peers and others as Lord, basically. They had, the people around them had given them the high priest title, teacher. There's parts in the Bible that says, do not be called these things. Do not accept the title.
Yeah, more responsibility.
And so, in that moment, they were not willing to trade back those titles, submit and surrender what they thought they knew, and be able to actually receive what it is that God has come to give us. So now that we know that, where do you fall in that story? Are you at the point where you're starting over and you're giving him everything because you know you have nothing? Great. Stay there. Let anything and everything that he do be no way to give glory other than to him. Problem is, we begin to boast when he brings us up. We begin to say, look at me. And then at that point, I believe, outside of our understanding, outside of our conscience, we make a decision, much like these men did, to give back what he has given us. And I don't know about y'all, but the scripture, when it says, flee from me. You didn't never know me. I never knew you. I can't hear that one. I don't want to hear that one. I want to hear, good, faithful son. Well done. And I used to think that meant, let me go run this race, do all the things, check all the boxes, be the best at this. That's not what that means. It's not my decision on how he uses me. Y'all, if y'all had told me that I would be standing in front of a bunch of men professing this with no notes, with no prior knowledge of what he was going to say or do, I'd be like, you crazy. I'm a back of the class guy, middle of the pack, don't get noticed, don't do too good, don't do too bad, just go through. That's who I am in my nature, my natural flesh. That man had to have been traded in for a usable vessel that he has decided to use in the way that he decides to use.
Surrender to you.
We all have to posture ourselves in that way. It doesn't matter if you're sweeping the parking lot or you're the king in the castle. Both, if in his hand, can be used in a manner that is greater than anything of this work that this world can give. Who is willing to trade what they think they've been doing for Christ for however many years and say, Lord, there's something greater. I'm tired of the up and down. I'm tired of my tank feeling like I give a little bit and now I'm empty again. Or I'm on a good streak and now I'm down again. If that sounds like something you're dealing with, you're doing life in your own strength. Yes, we're going to go through seasons. Yes, we are still human. But when we take out that pressure and that yoke to our old self and we put it on with Him, there's no look back. You just move when He moves. You do when He does. You be obedient when it doesn't make sense. It doesn't have to make sense. It shouldn't make sense. Your mind and His mind will never be on the same. That's my prayer for us today. That this room start to look different and the rooms we go in start looking different. Not because we began to do anything better. That we begin to do what it is that He's trying to do through us. It's uncomfortable, it's awkward, it's not natural, but it's truly about a posture of putting yourself in that place, taking your hands off the plow and letting Him do. I pray for that today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you this morning. Thank you that you have joined these men together. Iron sharpening iron, drawing near to you. I pray that your spirit was felt today and that these men leave here with a newfound appreciation for what it is that you can do in their lives. Nothing that they have to earn, nothing that they have to put a mask on or fake. A true, genuine Christian. Not someone trying to be like Christ. Someone that has Christ in them. Let us all move accordingly so that the world can stop seeing fake Christians and see the authentic one that came just like He did in this scripture. And yet, we will only be seen by those that are willing. And that's okay. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.